Matthew 13, starting at verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore. Then they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You see the strong link between those verses in the New Testament and the Old Testament reading, where God says to the people before giving them the law, you will be my treasured possession. You will be my treasured possession. A man found a treasure in a field and sold all that he had to own the field. A man saw a pearl of great price. Perhaps if the story has been retold these days, it would be a woman who saw the pearl of great price, just to have a bit of equality and balance across the parables. A man saw a pearl of great price. Perhaps it was a commercial transaction that he fancied. Perhaps it was just the pure aesthetic of owning such a wonderful object. But he sold all he had so he could have that pearl. Two images from the commercial world about treasure. And of course, Galilee was full of the treasure of the fish that made rich the fishermen, that gave Peter a business, made him a businessman as well as a practical sort of bloke who went out in the boats. And we believe that he ran a fleet of boats, that he was the one who was kind of the CO, told the others what to do when they were out fishing together. Perhaps they shared in that business partnership. And of course, they probably became reasonably wealthy on it. Those shores by Galilee must have been desirable properties, and Peter owned one of them. Jesus might well have helped build some of them. So the fish are a treasured possession. But we find there's also judgment. The fishermen, it's quite common knowledge, has to throw away the bad fish and keep the good fish. Only the good fish are really the treasured possession. The bad fish make the good fish go bad. They must be got rid of. And so in Jesus' message of grace, there is something that is worth all that you have. There is also the message of judgment. God is holy. Don't mess about. If you're going to become a good fish, be a good fish. And you will be part of the harvest, not part of the burning fire. We find on Sinai there's a burning fire. It's not a fire that is there to destroy what is up Mount Sinai. It is just the glory of God, and if you're not holy, you can't come near it. And so the people are warned about that, and I'll come back to that in a minute. The context for the Ten Commandments, and often we focus on the Ten Commandments to the exclusion of the rest of the Exodus story, and so we become obsessed with law and legalism in our Christian faith. How many churches have you been in, older churches have you been in, where the Ten Commandments are written up the side or printed out on the sides so that the congregation can sit there and read them? Can you actually see them? Can you read them from where you are? No. The church that my dad had before he came here, the church in South Baddesley, I can't remember if the East Bold one had it as well, but had them in printed in gold down each side. And I think across the top was worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So the Ten Commandments, but that was a thing that people did, especially after the Reformation, the emphasis on the Ten Commandments. And it means that Sunday after Sunday, people were coming to church and having reinforced that what you are here for is to learn the law. Actually, what we are here for is to learn of grace and to see the law in the context of grace. Otherwise, we have missed the point. And we support people who become dictatorial because we feel more secure instead of taking the risk of supporting people who are gracious and compassionate and moderate and interpret the law in the light of God's standards of compassion. When you read through the law, even the law that was given to Moses on the top of the mountain in this particular passage, in this Exodus passage, you see that again and again it emphasizes compassion. It's not a law about property, whereby if you steal someone's property, you receive a harsher sentence than if you damage them for life. It's the law about looking after people. Of course, looking after people means being just about property. It's a law that's very similar to a lot of the other laws that were around at the time, except for one sparkling difference. It had equal punishments for damage to people who were wealthy as damage to the poorest in society. It didn't demand a higher punishment if you offended or damaged the life of a wealthy man or woman than if you damaged the life of their servant, even the lowest of the low in that society, their slave girls. All were protected by the law, and the emphasis of the law was on compassion. Why? Because God gave the law, and he's a God of compassion. He is not an idol supporting the state. He is a holy God who reigns over every state and one day will be seen to do so and must reign in our hearts too. So that's what the law was about. And the context is a journey. I was listening to one of my favourite groups, well, a type of music that I really like this week. You won't be able to see that, so it's useless visual aid, nobody can see it. But that's the group Leonard Skinner, and that is called, yes, one cheer here. Anybody else for Leonard Skinner? Yeah, two cheers, at least two cheers, probably nobody else has heard of him. And this one's called One More for the Road, and it's their live double album. I really like it because it's got a nice long version of Freebird on the end. But it's One More for the Road. No, crossed out. One More from the Road. One More from the Road. And that's what we're getting in this passage. The journey of God with his people. And this is not just one more step, it's one more stopping place. They stopped at Mount Sinai. Are we there yet? Well, we don't know how long we're going to be here. Perhaps it is where. Perhaps it's the promised land. Seems it must have good grazing for the cattle and the sheep, mustn't it? They stopped there for a year. It must have been an all right place to be. Well, they'd have tried to move on, wouldn't they? They were there for a whole year before they moved on. Perhaps they needed that time to recover from the flight from Egypt. All that adrenaline going on for exactly 3 months, as we hear at the start of this passage. And then a rest. Perhaps they needed it to recover from the glory of God on the mountain. Don't let them even put their foot on the foot of the mountain. I've got a mountain over here. Got a visual aid for you today. Convinced? You convinced by the mountain? Yeah, some people are nodding. You're really good people out there. And Moses said, handle with care. Handle the mountain with care. And the law said, handle the people with care. handle each other with care. When Jesus quoted that the summing up of the law is, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your strength and all your soul and all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbour as yourself. He was quoting from the middle of the law. He was quoting from a book that most of us avoid if we're only reading the Bible for our own pleasure. He was quoting from the book of Leviticus. That's where that gem comes from. The heart of the expounding of the law into detail after receiving the 10 words on the mountain where you get the outline. It's about handle with care. You come before a holy God, handle your heart with care. Be careful what you are worshipping inside there when you're not here for an hour on Sunday morning. Or perhaps even when you are here for the hour on Sunday morning, what are you really worshipping? I'm looking forward to the coffee afterwards. Hurry up, Stuart. What are you really worshipping? Handle with care. I'm looking forward to talking to my best friend. Oh, I'm stuck talking to the person I find really difficult. Handle with care. What are you worshipping? Whose image are you made in? Where are you going with this? What is your journey? One more from the road in your heart. But the mountain was a symbol of that, because the Holy God was coming upon the mountain. And so that place, although it wasn't the promised land and it wasn't the end destination, was a symbol of them travelling with the Holy God. And that is what really mattered. God was quite happy to exile them when they got to the promised land. Well, I'm not sure happy is the right word. When they stopped handling one another with care. And they stopped handling their knowledge of him with care. And started to behave like the nations around him. So the context is a journey. The place is a plain at the foot of a mountain. The archaeologists can't quite work it out. The Bible commentators can't quite work out exactly where it is. St. Catherine's Monastery thinks they've got it right. And a guy who went out there to draw pictures said it took him 2 hours to walk from the foot of the mountain to the top of it. Imagine doing that with two whacking great stones in your hand. And then having to go back up on your seventh journey up the mountain, with not just with two whacking great stones, but also with a wooden casket, so you weren't tempted to throw them at anybody again. Although the people deserved to know that they hadn't been handling God's word with care. It was already broken inside their hearts after the first time that Moses came back down the mountain with the stones, which I think was his fourth journey up that mountain, 4 in 7. So we've heard a little bit about God's grace in the giving of the law. But we also hear in this passage about God's grace in getting them there. God's grace in getting them there. Chapter 19, verse 4. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you will be my treasured possession through all the earth. You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words to speak to the Israelites. Great, great promises. But God has already redeemed them. They sit at the bottom of Mount Sinai. They sit on the plain of Sinai, enjoying the goodness of that land, sparse goodness though it might have been. The goodness of that land, knowing they are a redeemed people. The meaning of the word is they have been brought back. They have been brought back out of slavery. They have been redeemed by blood, the blood of the firstborn. Prophetically speaking, the time when all people would be redeemed by the blood of the only begotten one, not the firstborn, although he is described as the firstborn amongst many, but the only begotten one, the truly holy human being, redeemed by the blood. Do you know today that you stand in that place of grace, redeemed by the blood And whatever God is speaking into your heart because you need correction, perhaps you do today, or because you need encouragement, and perhaps you're resisting that because you don't think you're worthy enough. You've been redeemed by the blood that makes you a treasure. How worthy is that? A treasure in a field that God gave his only son to buy back, so that you may give all that you have to receive that pearl beyond price. You are a holy people if you've been redeemed by his blood. This is grace. This is amazing grace. This is unending love. If you see yourself as one of God's people, this is where you stand. Even if you feel weighed down by the law, at the bottom of Mount Sinai, you can identify with being part of a redeemed people. One more step from the road. What a glorious testimony you have. I walk where he walked. And so we are that treasure. We are that kingdom of priests. We are the fish that have been taken out of the net and kept if we know Jesus Christ and we've received that redemption. We are called to walk in holiness. We need continual correction. We need our hearts to be prodded by the Holy Spirit. We need that love of a compassionate arm, a compassionate prayer, a compassionate person who notices but perhaps doesn't say anything, but goes away and prays for you because they know how deep your need is, even though they may have felt it was unwise to say anything at the time. God is changing their hearts. God is changing your heart. God is taking us one step at a time. From glory to glory, he's leading me. That means from one degree to another, from one step to another, handle with care your life, your heart, the lives and hearts of those around you, the lives and hearts of those who you would bring into that state of redemption, out of slavery to sin in Egypt and into the promised land that Jesus lays before us. Handle with care, but handle with care especially your approach to the holiness of God, because he is indeed a great God, a lover of people, as he made clear to Moses when he was alone on the mountain. A lover of people, as he made clear to the people, as they tried to work out the meaning of the law, and as they became an ordered nation, which is one of the things that must have happened in Sinai. They must have started to learn what it meant to be a people who were an ordered people, a people governed by laws, a people who knew what group to be in when they were summoned to march out of the camp. A rabble of tribes becoming an ordered people, a holy nation, a testimony to the world, if they hadn't kept breaking down and failing time and time again. And then out of that net, one fish was found of the people of Israel. The fish beyond price, Ichthus, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Saviour of the world. Not a slippery fish, but a fish you can hold on to. Amen.